tonight. If you have a King James Bible tonight, if you would turn over to Genesis 50 for me, please. I say a King James Bible because this is the only Bible to use. There is no other Bible on this planet to use besides the King James. And you learn in church history is a lot of people have fought, a lot of people have been through a lot of persecution, a lot of affliction for this King James Bible, and we just have it in our laps. And I'm very thankful that I learned that in this school, and it's a very big privilege of mine to be up here and to be able to preach here, because you guys have done so much for me, and I just want to thank you guys for this opportunity, because not everyone gets this, not everyone gets the privilege to go to Bible school down in Pensacola. And sometimes you take it for granted, yes, but I am very thankful for you guys. And I'm going to open up in a word of prayer before we start off. Lord God, I thank you, Father, once again for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord, and thank you for the men who helped build this church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is established there, Father, for your grace, Lord, and for your mercy on this church. I pray, Lord, you'd guard my tongue and my lips and say the things I need to say, Lord, and pray you'd bless this message, Father, and because, Lord, you allowed it to happen, Father, and we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor. And pray you'd come back soon, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you are in Genesis 50, we're going to start here in verse number 14, if you would. The title of my message is The Debt and the Debtor, and it is going to be on the doctrine of forgiveness, something I was going to preach in class, but you guys get a little insight before I preach it. If you would, turn over here to verse 14 for me. The Bible says, "And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph would peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants of God the Father, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went down and fell before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it is this day to save much people alive. Now here, Joseph is getting back to go bury his father, and he's going to see his brethren. It's been a while, and you think, man, Joseph's got a lot to think about ever since they, you know, sold him and did all this bad stuff to him. And I'm sure he's thinking there, Lord, how am I going to go face my brethren? They've done so much wrong to me. They've hurt me. And I'm sure no one's here has had something so bad happen to Joseph. So you can imagine what he's thinking right now. He's going over there, bury his father. You know, he's already probably got a lot of sorrow, but he's got to go there and meet his brethren. And you know, I'm sure as soon as he comes and sees them, he's weeping. He's thinking, man, Lord, after all they've done to me, I still don't deserve them to say thank you or to cry and weep at my feet. I still don't deserve, Lord, for them to come and say sorry to me, Lord. Even though we've been through so much, I still don't deserve my brethren to say sorry. And I wish we'd have that attitude towards our brethren, because nowadays you don't see that. If a church brethren or a sister, they hurt you, if they say something mean to you and they hurt your feelings, it's a church split nowadays. It's sad to see that, is that we can't go through something so small as a church and still be together nowadays. And it's really hard to see that, is that Joseph gone through so much, but we who have gone through so little can't go and just make up with our brethren like Joseph did. We can't just go and have fellowship with the guys we used to go and hang out with. No, we have a different outlook. We have too much pride nowadays, and to just tell ourselves, you know, it's probably better to just go and talk to my brethren and ask for forgiveness or forgive them for what they've done than to just have this quarrel with them, a dispute. If you would turn over to Luke 17 for me, please. Luke 17. Now here, Jesus is teaching them how to forgive, and if you would pick this up here in Luke 17 and verse 3. And the Bible says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. If he trespass thee seven times a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And yeah, you think, yeah, that's a funny thing, Lord, increase our faith. But if you really think about it, your brother comes to you and he's asking for forgiveness, repents. Okay, I forgive you. Comes again. Forgive me. Okay, I forgive you. And it gets to the third, fourth time. You're like, Lord, I can't. He just did this four times to me. He came over here and he did something wrong again for four times. How am I supposed to forgive this, brethren? And you think about that. That takes a lot of faith. You know what the Bible says about faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And one of the things I want to say is if you want some faith, you got to get in this book. You got to get in the scriptures and increase your faith. Because the Lord tells us seven times in a day. Someone can do that? Yes, they can. Yes, they can do it seven times a day. If you have the right outlook and if you have the right outlook on yourself and what the Lord has done for you, and you think, Lord, I'm thinking about this. Lord, you've forgiven me way more than seven times in a day. You've forgiven me for things that no other man can ever do to me. No other man has ever done things I've done to you, Lord, but I'm going to forgive my brethren seven times in one day because you said I should. And that's the least I owe to my Savior. That's the least I owe to him for what he's done for me, for what he's forgiven me for my whole life. And this is the amazing thing he's done for me. How can I not forgive my brethren seven times, you say? If you have the wrong outlook, you're thinking, man, I won't even forgive him twice in one day. If it was my brethren, I would not forgive that man twice. He says some mean things to me and to another brethren. He's not my brother no more. I don't care about him. But if you're in this book, you learn, man, this book humbles you. This book is a mirror on yourself. It is a mirror, and you will see, I am not as good as I think I am. I don't deserve to only forgive my brethren three or four times a day. I should forgive him seven times seven. You really should. And it's hard to see as people gripe about that. Man, I don't want to forgive my brethren. Shoot, they're a pain in my butt. Yeah, they are, but the Lord says to forgive them. Love thy brethren. If you would turn over to Colossians 3 for me, please. We're turning to a lot of scripture. And you should get pretty comfortable turning some scripture in your book. Hope you are. We'll pick it up here, Colossians 3 and verse 13. And the Bible says, here in Paul's epistle here, it says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against thee, and that means to have a dispute or a fight, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now that is a funny word the King James uses. You say, that's an archaic word. No, you just need to search your Bible. You need to figure out what that means. You know, they sell this word about archaic. No, that's a perfect word. That's the right word to use. That's the right word to use. And we see nowadays is a lot of gossip, is busybody in other man's business. And this really hits hard as we fight a lot as Christians. I mean, nowadays with social media, it's very prevalent. We have some social media thugs, you know, people talk on the internet, and even something so simple as that to say is, the Bible is so perfect. It says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Going back to what I said before is, we have something so small, and the Lord has forgiven us so much. And it's hard to compare what Christ did for you to what you should do for other people, but the Bible says that we should, and it tries to shed some light on the fact that we don't do it enough. We don't forbear one another as we should. We don't forgive one another as we should. And it's a really hard thing to see nowadays as we don't forgive so quickly. We hold it off. And you see that we hold our Christian walk. We slow it down by not forgiving as we should. I'll go on to my second. You all turn over to Matthew 18 for me, please. Matthew 18. And this is obviously not a kingdom of God parable. This would be a kingdom of heaven parable. We're going to try to make some good applications here. Very good passage for forgiveness. If you would pick it over here in verse 23 in Matthew 18. The Bible says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would have taken account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children and all that he had, payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of the fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, I'll pay thee all. And he goes on and goes on for the sake of time, and if you would pick it over here in verse 35 for me. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brethren their trespasses. Now, why does the Lord say from your heart? You think about every single word of God is pure and every single word of God is holy and perfect in this book. There's no denying that. But why does the word say, Lord say from your heart? You see, so often is we don't forgive from our hearts. We say we forgive, but we hold back the debt that they still owe to us. You say, what does that mean? Let me just put an example for you. Your brother, they may break something. Maybe they owe you a little bit of money, like in the passage. And you go and you forgive them, but you're still holding that debt. You're still holding some shackles around their neck. You're still holding something onto them. You're not forgiving them from your heart. And how many times we will withhold our attention from another person, we'll say out loud, you know, we forgive you. I forgive you for what you did. You may have hurt me. I forgive you for this thing you broke. But, you know, you still owe me it. You know, I'm still going to be mad at you. I'm still not going to have fellowship with you because you did this to me. I forgive you, brother, but we're not really brethren no more. But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to be a selfish, self-righteous man. I'm going to withhold my attention that you deserve because you're a fellow brother in Christ. But, you know, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about what the Bible says I am. And you see that the Bible says from your heart you are to forgive your brethren. And if you would, I saw three things in this passage here, and I want to go over them real quick. First is this servant had a wife and children. Why is that important? Because the other servant did not. You say here, this servant had a wife and a children to think about. He had other people to think about when he had this debt. He put other people in jeopardy. And I have my fiance, I think about that. I'm like, what if I had debt and then some person was going to sell her and me to pay the debt off? And he had to think about that. And secondly, I was doing some math. 100 talents to 10,000 is 1%. He owed 99% more debt than this other servant. That is a lot more. And thirdly, he moved with anger before he even got to speak, the other servant. And why that's important is our Heavenly Father doesn't move with anger when we do something wrong at first, right? He isn't instantly trying to punish us, whack the hammer down, paddle us, whatever you want to say. He has so much compassion on us and so much mercy. How quickly we hear a rumor and we're just like, man, already going in our mind, man, I hate this person already. I already want to go and say something to them. And just out of anger, we are just thinking, man, I just want to go and act like a fool. But you don't think that because we're all not fools, right? But this Bible shows you that, man, I don't know why, but I just saw these three things. And I was like, Lord, that's crazy to me is these three things. And he still wouldn't forgive his brother 100 pence. You say okay. But how many times do we just not want to forgive over something so small? How many times do we just look at our brethren and we withhold fellowship with them? I think about it maybe about in Pensacola. Brother Donovan talks about a lot of disputes he's had. And I'm just like, if those men would just man up and just go and talk to him, or they would just settle it or forgive or ask for forgiveness, how many things would just be settled? But no, the pride comes in, and you know, I'm so glad that in this parable, he said he threw him into the tormentors. Now imagine if that happened. We probably would forgive a lot more, wouldn't we? If you would turn over to Luke 7, please. Turn over to Luke 7. This is a very emotional passage when I think about it. And obviously, when you learn about the doctrine or something, you get to expand about more what that is. It can even be salvation, something so simple. But when you learn about the doctrine, you really deep down into the verses and you learn a lot more when you're studying. And this verse really hit me hard when I got to read it. You all know where I'm about to go in verse here, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat on meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with oil. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman it says that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor that had two debtors. The one owed 500, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay for anything, forgive them both. Tell me, wherefore, which one will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom forgave us most. He said, rightly, thou was rightly judged. And we'll go on and pick it up back here in verse 48. And the Bible says, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him and began to say with themselves, who is he that forgiveth sins? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath made thee save thee. Go in peace. You think about when Jesus forgave you and you asked him to save you. This is a great passage for us for salvation, but I'm pretty sure no one's lost in here, which is a great thing. But how many times the Lord has forgiven you, you've put in perspective, you kneeled down in front of your bed, you did something awful, there's this besetting sin. The Lord has dealt with you over and over again. He's tried talking to you about it, and you finally just break, and you get down on your knees, and you're crying. Likewise with this woman. She is crying to the Lord. She is crying on his feet, wiping his feet with her hair and anointing his feet. How many times we have had moments like that with the Lord, and we've just went down and asked him for forgiveness. I want to direct your attention to the Pharisees, and they're in their minds like, who is this woman? She's humbling herself. She's getting down and she's kneeling before the Lord. Don't she know this is Jesus the prophet? Doesn't Jesus know this woman's a sinner? Doesn't Jesus know that this woman is a filthy, vile sinner? Man, doesn't that hit home? Doesn't that hit home? And you learn that. That's us. If you haven't learned, that's us. We are the sinner. This book is a perfect book, and it shows you that. Man, you're reading through this, and I'm just like, man, that's me. Yep, that's me. The Pharisees are talking. Yep, that's me. And man, that hit home. As soon as she sees Jesus, she's crying. Doesn't even get 5 seconds in the house, and she's kissing his feet. Man, if we could humble ourselves like that and try to edify each other like that, how closer this body of Christ could be, how close this church could be. And I know the church is close. This is a very great church, but it's not where it ought to be. It's not where it ought to be. And I know this church is great, but there's definitely some things we could work on. There's definitely some things we could humble ourselves on. There are some things that we can just look at and say, man, if I would just play my part and if I would just be a member used and do my part and forgive and be more like Christ, because we all say we're Christians, right? But what does it mean to be a Christian? That means to be Christ-like. What did Christ do in the Scriptures? Right here, he forgave. He was so quick to forgive. Christ was ready, faithful to forgive. We are so far from that, yet we want to say we're Christ-like. Yeah, so this is a word that's thrown around. But that's what it means. Your brother has hurt you so bad, and I don't know what, maybe there's a brother in here right now that's hurt you. But Christ is so quick to forgive. Why can't we? Why can't we put aside worldly things and just focus on, man, the spiritual things, what the Lord can do with a man who will forgive people for what they've done to him. Man, how much more you can do for the Lord, you know? How much more the Lord can use you if you would just humble yourselves and be used by the Lord like that. But no, we like our pride, don't we? We like to keep to ourselves. And man, I'm too good to go and ask this brother to forgive me, man. Man, they've done so much to me. They deserve that, man. That woman deserves to go and kiss Jesus' feet. That woman deserves to waste a year's supply of oil to wash his feet. She deserves that. She's a sinner. She's a sinner. She deserves that. We're the total opposite. It's crazy to see that nowadays. As we get into Laodicea, we don't see that man very much. And it's really sad to see. If you would please turn your Bibles over to Luke 23 for me, please. Luke 23. Very important passage in the Scripture. Very important passage here. If you would, turn over to verse 32 for me. There were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to this place, which is called Calvary, they were crucified him, the malefactors, one on the left, one on the right, and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. You say, why is Jesus asking them forgiveness for them? Because Jesus is looking to edify other people. He was looking around to do what he can do for other people. He was seeing what he can do to help other people. He was seeing what he can do to help brethren, to help other people as he went around. Man, I mean, you think about it. A man just bumps into you, and how quick we are to say, you going to say sorry? You going to say sorry to me? How quick we are just to jump into action and instead of just saying a second, wait. Let me say I forgive him for what he did. That's not our first reaction. It's a much needed thing to just be quick to forgive. And it's very hard to see that. And Christ here, on a cross, bloody, hair pulled out of his beard, out of his head, blood dripping down him. He's crying to the Father, Lord, forgive them for what they did. How important forgiveness is in the Bible. And you see that here as the Lord loves a man who will forgive. The Lord loves a man who is willing to forgive. And Jesus is on the cross, and I can't even imagine him just saying that. And the people are just thinking, like, he asked them to forgive me? Ask the Lord to forgive me? Really? He would. That's my Savior. And that's who I want to be like. That's who she was striving to be like. And that's why we should forgive. That's why we should be so quick to help a brother out. That's why we're so quick if we see a brother in help, but we are having a dispute, to just go help them and talk about that later. But no, we're selfish human beings, and I'm glad this Bible sheds some light on that. I'm so glad the Bible does that. If you would turn over to John 1, 1 John 1 for me, please. Very important passage on forgiveness for the believer. Here in verse John 1, and we'll turn over to verse 9 for me, please. The Bible says, for my third point here, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this point is kind of separate, because this point is going to talk about why we need to ask for forgiveness. And it's very important, because the Lord is faithful to just to forgive us. And it's so important because we can go at all times and ask him for forgiveness. We have a great promise in the body of Christ, is that the Lord has given us opportunity at all times to come and ask him for forgiveness. He has given us the ability to pray right then and there and ask for forgiveness. And I hope you're using that. I hope you are daily confessing and daily talking to the Lord, because the Lord has allowed you, a sinful woman, to go into a perfect heaven. And the Lord is telling you he is faithful and just to forgive you. Why can't we just daily ask the Lord to forgive us? He has given us a great promise, and it's a very good thing that the Lord has done this for us. And for my last passage, we'll turn over to Colossians 1, please. Colossians 1. Here in Colossians 1, verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, here in the New Testament, we have something so great. We have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Going back to the cross, he didn't just die on the cross and sit on the cross just to say, Lord, forgive this crowd. No, to forgive the whole sins of the whole world. And we should go out and tell people, the Lord has a great promise, and he will forgive you for all you've done. And you have to use that in soul witnessing if you're going to talk to people. And that's a great, great verse in soul witnessing. And how many times that you have to use that is amazing. And the Lord just is so great in how he words everything, even the forgiveness of sins. And my sins are blotted out, and I'm so thankful the Lord to forgive me. The least I can do is, Lord, I dislike this brethren. He is a brat. I mean, you fill in the blank. But Lord, you've done so much for me. I'm going to go forgive them. I should love the brethren. And get over yourself and get over your own selfish ways. And Lord, I'm doing this for you. Lord, I'm doing this because, Father, you've given me a commandment, and that is to forgive. Lord, you have ceased to forgive anybody in the scriptures who has asked you, Lord. You think about the Syrophoenician woman and all the other people in the Bible and the gospel that have asked for forgiveness. Lord, you've never ceased to forgive them. So, Lord, I want to be a little more like you. I want to forgive, Lord. I want to have a good spirit about this and to forgive, Father. I want to be more like you. And, Lord, I'm going to start by just forgiving my brethren for what they've done. Father, I thank you for the night, Lord. I thank you for this time, Lord, you've allowed me to have, Father. Thank you for this church, Lord. And, Father, they are one of the best church, Lord, I can think of, Lord. And I'm so thankful for what they've done for me, Lord. I'm just thankful, Lord, I'm able to be up here. And I pray you'd bless this night, Lord, and bless the prayer requests. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.